we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
6 years after the Aymarazo protests in Peru, criminal charges pending against social leaders, and a $1 billion court case at the ICSID. It's been 6 years since the socio-environmental conflict known as the Aymarazo in Peru, a mobilization that happened in the province of Puno in 2011 against the mining project Santa Ana, owned by the Canadian company Bear Creek Mining Corporation. The project proposes an open-case mine near the border with Bolivia, which had planned to extract more than 63 million ounces of silver over a period of 11 years, beginning in 2012. The local population rejected the project because of the potential exploitation and contamination of water sources in the area, including the important Desaguadero River and Lake Titicaca, which Peru and Bolivia share. As a consequence of the suspending of the project, 18 community leaders are facing criminal charges, accused of the alleged crimes of obstruction of public services, disturbing the peace, and aggravated extortion. Among them is Francisca Sarmiento, the only woman leader who is being charged. The public prosecutor is asking for between 18 and 28 years of prison, and that the accused pay over $2 million in compensation. The trial is now in its final stages. Meanwhile, Bear Creek has sued the Peruvian state at the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes, ICSID, at the World Bank. The case was filed in August of 2014. Under the free trade agreement between Canada and Peru, the corporation seeks a compensation of $1.2 billion for not allowing the Santa Ana silver mine to proceed. Despite this, the corporation is still present in the region, pushing forward with other projects like the Corani mining project, also located in the province of Puno. This is a reality that communities that oppose mining in Peru face. They are criminalized and stigmatized for rejecting mining projects, and in this case, for being indigenous people. The aggressive pro-mining policies that reign in the country have caused many socio-environmental conflicts in indigenous territories, land dispossession, displacement of communities, and the violation of human and collective rights. These policies are pushed by transnational corporations like Bear Creek, which benefit from the extraction of natural resources and the violations of the rights of local communities, communities who are fighting to defend their territories.
With scare tactics and bullets, they want to kick us off our land. Where are we going to live? Even with the wind, hail, and ice, this is where we know how to live.
With faces expressing their anger and their voices raised, a group of Aymara indigenous women hold a protest in their native language outside the High Court of Justice in the province of Puno in the south of Peru. There are dozens of protesters in the demonstration, and they are here to show that they oppose the criminal proceedings against their leaders.
We have never stolen or killed people. We don't lie and we're not lazy. With our own hands, we work so that we can eat and drink. We have come to demand our rights because when we protest, we find ourselves falsely accused.
It's the 13th of March, 2016. On this date, the court case against 18 community leaders began, leaders who in 2011 were at the head of the socio-environmental mobilization known as the Aymarazo, in opposition to the Santa Ana mining project owned by the Canadian corporation Bear Creek. As a consequence of the mobilization, the leaders, amongst whom there is only one woman, Francisca Sarmiento, are facing the possibility of being sentenced to up to 28 years in prison.
We're asking for justice in our defense of natural resources. Our leaders are being criminally charged and they want to condemn them to 28 years in prison, which is not right. We defend our natural resources. Everyone knows that mining companies destroy the environment.
It's in the cities that there is crime, but we're not like that. They're accusing us of thievery. But that's not true. We're only defending our natural resources.
The mining project of Santa Ana is in the districts of Huacuyani and Queyuyo in the province of Chucuito, within the province of Puno, very close to Peru's border with Bolivia. The mining project had plans for an open-cast mine to extract over 63 million ounces of silver over a period of 11 years, beginning in 2012. In this region, 8 out of 10 persons of the local population live in rural areas and speak their native language of Aymara. Locals work in agriculture and small-scale fishing. Mining is something new for these communities, which is one of the reasons people were concerned at the amount of mining concessions granted, both in the area of Chucuito and in the province of Puno, which is the Peruvian province with the second most mining concessions in the country. This puts in serious jeopardy the subsistence economy of the local population, as this local woman confirms.
We are from the highlands. We don't grow crops. We have very little. Our only resource is our alpacas. That's what we have to raise our children and eat every day.
The concerns of the communities were clear, and they voiced them publicly. The mining company was considering the possibility of extracting underground water and water from local springs, which would have reduced water availability for local communities. The project also could have polluted several important bodies of water, including the Desaguadero River and Lake Titicaca, both shared between Peru and Bolivia.
We demand that our water not be polluted. There are many springs that could be contaminated. My children, nieces and nephews that drink that water could become ill. They could even die. We as mothers and grandmothers want to leave the land healthy for future generations. We have come here today to say clearly that the Santa Ana mine was going to operate in an area where there are many rivers. The Cayacami River runs through the area, and if it's contaminated, the pollution could even reach the town of Desaguadero. Lake Titicaca is near Desaguadero, and the whole lake could be polluted, affecting the entire region and even Bolivia.
The local communities also denounced that the project was within a protected indigenous area, as well as violating a provision in Peru's constitution which prohibits foreign mining companies from operating in areas near the country's border. All of these reasons, along with a lack of transparency and lack of consultation with local communities, made for a general atmosphere of opposition to the project in the whole area. According to Rodrigo Lauracio, a lawyer with the organization Human Rights and Environment in the city of Puno, from the very beginning, the mining project was problematical.
Debemos mencionar que este proyecto minero se asienta.
This mining project is within the territory of Aymara indigenous communities. Those communities had many questions about the project to do with impacts on their territory and above all impacts on the water. The watershed in this area also crosses into Bolivia. People were worried about how mining would affect not only surface water, but also underground water, both of which are used for agriculture. Many of these concerns were not addressed by the mining company at the time, and as a consequence, many doubts arose, resulting in many communities opposing the mine.
Ignoring all of these problems, in 2007, the government approved Decree 083-2007 that declared the Santa Ana mine to be of public necessity and authorized its operations. The following year, in a process that was not transparent, Bear Creek, which had already been present in the area for several years, officially received the right to proceed with the mine. After being ignored by the corporation and the government, local communities began to mobilize, demanding the repeal of Decree 083 and of all of the mining concessions in the Puno province. They also demanded that their right to free, prior, and informed consent be respected, a right that is provided for both under Peruvian law and under Convention 169 of the International Labour Organization, which Peru has ratified. Between March and June of 2011, there were road blockades and massive protests both in the countryside and in the city of Puno, which resulted in arrests, injuries, and deaths of the demonstrators. Finally, on June 24th of the same year, The government repealed a decree that had declared the Santa Ana mine to be of public necessity, and the conflict entered a period of uneasy calm.
Por defender nuestros recursos naturales.
They are accusing us for defending our natural resources. With these accusations, they are threatening us. But we are not going to give up. Let them jail all of us here today, all of us.
The consequences of repealing the decree and stalling the Santa Ana mine were very serious and were both national and international. In August of 2014, Bear Creek Mining Corporation sued Peru in the World Bank's International Center for the Settlement of Investment Disputes. Under the free trade agreement between Canada and Peru, the corporation seeks a compensation of $1.2 billion for not allowing the Santa Ana silver mine to proceed. Another of the consequences of the social conflict, without doubt the most serious, are the criminal proceedings against 18 community leaders initiated in local courts. They are accused of the alleged crimes of obstruction of the functioning of public services, disturbing the peace, and aggravated extortion. The public prosecutor is asking for between 18 and 28 years of prison and that the accused pay over $2 million in compensation. For Rodrigo Lauracio, these criminal proceedings are no coincidence, and they are part of the politics of criminalization of protest that prevail in Peru.
All of the social protests in Peru, above all those in which indigenous or native communities and rural communities participate, always end in criminal proceedings. We call this the criminalization of legal protest, meaning legal activities become illegal through criminal proceedings. They are criminalized. As a consequence of the social protests known as the Aymarazo, a criminal investigation into 100 leaders of the protest was launched. In this investigation, the representatives of the organization involved are charged with four crimes. The representatives are indigenous authorities, community leaders, or presidents of rural communities who together formed a coalition, a defense front. They are charged with four crimes. Aggravated extortion against the state was one.
De extorsión agravada. La extorsión agravada implicaba que la protesta social del Aymarazo se organizó.
Aggravated extortion implies that the social protest of the Aymarazo was organized by a criminal organization that extorted the state. In other words, the organization called the Defense Front was not a legitimate organization that was demanding its rights from the state, but a criminal organization like one that is formed to extort from a company. But the public prosecutor's office, which carried out the investigation, saw it this way. They said that the extortion was carried out to gain the repeal of the decree 083 and that this was the motive for the extortion.
Ese es el motivo de extorsión. La otra, el otro delito que se les imputa es el entorpecimiento al funcionamiento de los servicios públicos.
The other crime that they are charged with is obstruction of public services, meaning that public buildings and national banks can't function normally. This was the second charge against them. The third charge was disturbing the peace and blockading the public way. The fourth charge was interfering with electoral polling. In June of 2011, the second round of presidential election was about to happen in Peru. And as these protests lasted quite a long time, there was a risk that the voting would be suspended in the region of Puno. So this fourth charge was dropped, and only the first three were continued with.
In Rodrigo Lauracio's opinion, the penal categories used in Peru's courts result in a labeling of social organizations and protests as criminal. This is part of a state policy tendency towards criminalization, comprising of at least four elements, which are new public policies that allow for criminalization, smear campaigns, declarations of states of emergency and repression during conflicts, and criminal proceedings.
La teoría de la fiscalía y cómo se...
So this was the theory of the district attorney. And as happens in other cases, organizations that represent civil society or rural communities in social protests are branded as criminal organizations. And this does not come from just the district attorney's theory of this case, but stems from a national political trend of criminalization of social protests. That's our analysis.
Un primer paso, el cual es
There's a first step to this, which is the design of public policy which modifies our judicial system in order to push through mining projects and create new crimes against people who participate in social protests. In other words, both the civil and penal codes have been modified, amongst other things.
La segunda herramienta que se utiliza es...
The second tool is the smear campaign, which is used against those who participate in social protests through radio, television, and online, creating campaigns which mark us as terrorists and anti-mining, as environmental terrorists, and as people who are opposed to the development of our country. It's a campaign to stigmatize human rights defenders and indigenous communities who defend their rights.
La tercera tiene que ver en la forma como interviene el Estado.
The third has to do with the way in which the state intervenes in social conflicts. The first mechanism they use is the declaring of states of emergency. Usually, this is the first thing the state does in case of social protests. Here in Peru, states of emergency cause the killing of people. For the state, they are not homicides, but for us they are, because people are killed in these protests. It didn't happen only in 2011 here in Puno, but has happened in the past years in Espinar, in Cajamarca, and in different places around the country. They literally kill people, and they inflict physical and psychological harm on people. In some cases, there is being torture. A state of emergency means harm to fundamental rights like the right to life and to physical and psychological well-being. So declaring a state of emergency is not a suitable response to socio-environmental conflict.
El mecanismo idóneo para lidiar con los conflictos socioambientales. Y finalmente, la cuarta...
And lastly, the fourth stage of intervention in these types of conflicts is the criminal investigation. Up until now, we haven't had anyone sentenced for involvement in social conflict. In the Bagua case, they were about to, but thanks to strong legal defense, those charges were absolved. We hope that in the Aymarazo case, this is taken as a precedent by the judges to not hand down a sentence, because we believe that social protest is a constitutional right. Even if in our constitution it's not explicitly recognized, it is implicitly recognized in the right to hold opinions and the right to assembly. So we believe that this process of criminalization has its roots in public policy and then is put into practice in penal process, which are out of proportion to the exercise of a fundamental right, the right to protest.
No son proporcionales para juzgar un derecho fundamental que es el derecho a la protesta social.
The legal proceedings against the 18 leaders accused of alleged crimes committed during the Aymarazo are now in their final stages. These proceedings are causing serious financial, emotional, and psychological harm against the accused. Despite the fact that this type of criminal proceedings often seeks to discourage and deter future social protest, Aymara people continue to make their voices heard on the streets of Puno. With shouts of, if there's no solution, there'll be another Aymarazo, and no to mining, yes to water. On the 19th of June of this year, there was another protest on the streets of Puno against mining and against the criminalization of local leaders. While this is happening at the local level, the closed court at the ICSID in Washington, D.C. is overseeing Bear Creek's lawsuit against Peru. If the ruling finds in Bear Creek's favor, the state will have to pay the corporation $1.2 billion, an amount that is equivalent to the country's budget for all of its social programs. Despite this, the corporation is still present in the region, pushing forward with other projects like the Corani mining project, also located in the province of Puno. This is the reality that communities that oppose mining in Peru face. The aggressive pro-mining policies that reign in the country have produced socio-environmental conflicts in indigenous territories, land dispossession, displacement of communities, and the violation of human and collective rights. These policies are pushed by transnational corporations, which benefit from the extraction of natural resources and the violations of the rights of local communities, communities who are fighting to defend their territories.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.